report on. Today is March the 8th, if I'm correct. And again, we're on our Soldiers of Training course. And before we get to Ephesians, I want to go back, and I know you know this, but go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. I just want to read that verse again. And that verse says, I'll get there. Who can quote that verse for me? I know probably all of you, but if you're like me and you put it on the spot, your brain just kind of goes dead, you know. And so all these verses are discipleship verses. We know them. And we need to go back through them just to refresh our mind. But it says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that word study, and you've heard me say this before, I believe, it's taken out of most modern Bible versions. Because that's the only place it says that we're to study our Bible. And so not only are we supposed to read our Bible on a daily basis, pray about things, but we're to study them out, okay? And you're like, well, that's a lot of work. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Now, what makes me any different than you guys? I probably just studied a little bit more. That's it. You want to take my spot, which, for goodness sakes, I would be happy to sit down and let you come up and teach. What do you got
to
do?
You have to change your name.
Yeah, you got to do a little studying, okay? If you want to be able to preach like Brian Hedges, I don't know if it's going to finish the whole thing off, but studying is going to help you get there, okay? So study is a big key, and that's kind of why we're going through this, you know, this all the assignments and things we got. And we're like, well, Bob, that's tough writing this out. And that's right, reading it. And then I've got to think about an outline. I've got to do all this stuff. It's like I'm back in school. Okay. But we are told to study the Bible. And I guarantee you, when we meet Jesus, we want to stand out a little different than the Laodicean Christians. Laodicean Christians have this attitude, well, all they need to do is show up to church once in a while, drop a $20 bill on the plate, and they're good. And I've probably done that before. But here's the deal. When we meet Jesus, we need to not be ashamed. We need to be pulling our weight a little bit. And so, in somebody else's class, you might coast, but in this class, we're not going to coast, okay? So I've told you before, I'll tell you all I know. It may not be much, but I will tell you what I do know. All right, so that's part of the reason. So last week, we went through this, the comma, colon, semicolon, and period. And we kind of laughed about it because when we pulled out the dictionary, it basically talked about pauses, didn't it? Okay? And so let me see if I have this wrote down right. I kind of tried to make it. So hopefully you guys kind of have these in your notes, because Susan came up and wrote these down. She did a very nice job. So a comma is what? It denotes the shortest pause in reading, separating a sentence into divisions. And that's a really good definition. But you notice that word pause in there, okay? And then we got to let's do colon. It's a pause longer than a comma, used to introduce or connect more information directly related. And then a semicolon, again, is connect two closely related independent clauses without a conjunction or separate complex items in a series containing
commas,
signals a direct logical connection between two complete sentences. Now, let's see how I did mine. Okay, mine basically says this. And mine's the right one if we're taking notes. No, I'm kidding. Semicolon is a mark of pause that connects two closely independent thoughts or ideas. I kind of shortened it down a little bit. And for a colon, I have a pause longer than a comma used to connect directly related information. So again, I just kind of brought those down a little bit. And then period is the end of the statement or thought. So we kind of looked at these last week. And we kept seeing pause in all of them. And we go, well, that's not quite how we use it today. But, you know, I don't want to, what do I want to say here? I don't want to take for granted the pause. in these things. And so I had a person in here last week says, well, let's give us an illustration of these. I think she's sitting on the back row of what these are. And so I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. And now this is a famous verse we use around Christmas time, where we're going to go to that here. Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. You tell me if this is what we see around Christmas.
Yes.
Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay? So when you guys started writing out your chapters, you're starting to see there's a lot of commas, there's a lot of semicolons, and there's a lot of colons in this. Okay? So why do we have all those? Because I guarantee you when I write something out, I don't have a lot of semicolons, and I don't have a lot of colons in it. I might do colons if I'm doing a list, but that's kind of it. But in this verse here, let's look at it. It says, for unto us a child is born, comma, unto us a son is given, what's the next punctuation?
Colon.
A colon. So what is a colon again, real briefly? Colon is?
You pause longer.
It's longer than a comma. Okay. Okay, so there's something, there's a longer time pause here. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, another colon, and his name shall be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, the Mighty God, comma, the Everlasting Father, comma, the Prince of Peace, period. Okay. So when we're looking at that, if your brain goes, okay, so why do we have commas? Why do we have colons in this verse? But I want to just look at this. For unto us a child is born, comma. Now, who is that a reference to?
Christ.
Okay.
And us would be the Israel.
And unto us a son is given, colon. Now, that's a larger pause. Okay. So, when chapter 9 of Isaiah was written, it was written 700 years before Christ shows up. So do you think that is why they put a colon in there? That's kind of a long pause. When I write out a comma, it's very short. I'm not thinking of 700 years in the future. But yet the Bible's specific here. It starts off with a comma, but then when it goes down to this, government shall be upon his shoulder, that hasn't taken place yet. And yet, that hasn't even taken place when he showed up the first time. So let's look at this again. For unto us a child is born. So that actually was 700 years later. And unto us a son is given. That would be, when is he given? At the crucifixion. That's later. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. When did that happen?
When he reigns for the 1,000 years.
Hasn't happened yet. So each one of those colons is giving us a time span. So that's longer than a pause. So our definition is, yeah, it's longer than a comma. It's longer than just a short pause. And says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And it keeps going. But let's go back and look at this for just a second here.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes.
Usually a colon, after a colon, there's an explanation of why the colon is given. I mean, there's more, not only are we talking about a pause, but it's telling us what's going to happen. It tells us why there's a colon, that this and this and this is going to be a part of it.
Okay, which fits our definition because it connects more information directly related. Okay, true. And so, but I want you to look at this point here after it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, what's it say next? Shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Has he been called that yet? Again, future. It's future, okay? And so it's very interesting because here's a verse where you say, oh, wait a minute. It calls Jesus the Everlasting Father. So that's a fabulous verse to show somebody, well, before Jesus was born a baby, he was already God, and he will be called the Everlasting Father. Okay? Kind of connects it all together. Okay, so I want you to turn over to John chapter 2. And so I've just thrown out some issues that on these punctuation. John chapter 2. And let's start in verse 1 for a minute. It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, semicolon. And the mother of Jesus was there, colon. Okay? Now I want you to get this statement. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, period. Okay, so let's look at that. So we have a colon and after verse 1. And then it's almost like verse 2 is almost separated out. Because we have a marriage, we have his mother there, and then it says, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when you first look at that, you're like, okay, so there's a colon there, but so there's a pause. Why is there a pause there? Maybe they wasn't right there at the time. But let me just throw this out there. Is there ever going to be another time where Jesus is going to be called to a wedding and his disciples will be there? Yeah. When will that happen?
In the future.
In the future, at the marriage feast, right? Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I'm just throwing these out here that punctuation does mean things. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to Angela Plitch. She's out in... She's doing a service today out in front, and she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "That's kind of interesting how, you know, we read punctuation, but we kind of skip over all of it." And so sometimes when it says that there is a pause, it's there for a reason. There is a pause, and we need to think about that when we're reading something, because most of the time we could skip and go right over it. Sometimes those colons and semicolons might be 700 years. It may be a couple thousand years. And so that's how deep our Bible is when you start studying it out. And so when we're studying something out, or you're reading something out, pay attention to those colons and those semicolons, and look at the context, because it wasn't real hard to see the one back in Isaiah that those didn't happen right there at that same time period. That's pretty obvious. But it's like that through the rest of the Bible. Now let me throw something else out. At one time there wasn't colons and commas and punctuation in the text of the Bible. But we have them in our King James.
So when were they put in? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. But they were put in, and honestly, man wrote them down, but see, they had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to put them down, to have that meaning, because man's not smart enough to figure all this out. There's no way we have a book that was written by a man. That's my point. We have a supernatural book that's written by God Himself that is detailed to the last little jot and tittle. Remember Jesus said there's not going to be one jot or tittle of this book that will pass away? Not one little detail is left unnoticed in our Bible. That's how awesome our Bible is, okay? So I just wanted to kind of go through that a little bit today. So we'll get back to our assignment again. And so our assignment last week was to outline chapter 2. Okay? And so, is everybody good with the things we have up here? Anybody need any of this? Okay. So I'm going to erase this. And I'm going to ask for a volunteer to come up and give me their outline, or write their outline down. And again, I don't always want the same people. And I don't care if you think it's a good one or a bad outline, because we're going to improve on that. Okay? As, I'll just say this, when I was at Cleveland, we had a guy that came up one day. I probably told you this story. And I'm shaking hands as people walk out the door. This guy comes up and he goes, "Hi, I'm Sean." He goes, "I just want to tell you, I think I'm demonically possessed." About three deacons, I almost had a heart attack in line. And you know what I told him without missing a beat? Which is not me, because I go, "Well, Sean, keep coming and we'll work on that." One of the deacons came up and goes, "What are you going to do with that?" And I'm like, "I hope he keeps coming and we're going to work on it."
Oh my gosh.
So guess what? If your outline's not so good, don't worry about it. We're gonna work on it. Okay? That's my point. Okay? Nobody has, again, I'm not a very good outliner. That's why I kind of borrow and grab stuff from other people. But like Sharon said, try to work this out. But when you see somebody else's that, hey, that one point they have needs to be in my outline, by all means, borrow that and put it in your outline. We're trying to study and just get a good grade at the end of the assignment, okay? And so, that's what we're trying to do. So chapter 2, well, first of all, I asked you guys to do a key word, a key phrase, and a key
verse.
Yes. So does anybody have that? Let's start there. Key word?
I'll give you mine, but I don't want to come up and write it.
Okay, I'll write it.
My key word was access.
Was what?
Access.
Access.
Now, verse was 18.
Okay. So read that verse.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Okay, so why is that your key verse?
Because it's through him, through his access, that we get one Spirit.
Okay, and so that fits right in with your word. Okay, and did you have a key phrase?
Through him, access by one Spirit.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Anybody?
I borrowed your 1 through 10 condition and 11 through 22 relationship.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'll see what else everybody else has for a key word right before we go forward. Anybody else have another key word?
Habitation.
Did you get that out of a certain verse?
Yeah, it was the last verse. This is in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay. And so that's your key word. Is that your key verse also?
No, the key verse was 2:12.
2:12. Okay, read that for us.
That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth from Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Good verse. And then key phrase, do you have?
No.
Okay. We won't always have a key phrase.
Having no hope.
Having no hope, I'm sorry. So having no hope. Okay. Anybody else have a key word?
I did. Grace.
Grace.
And my phrase was saved by grace.
Okay. I'll just put that.
That's good.
And let's see.
And verse 7 was the key verse.
Key 7. Okay. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's the verse that really popped out at me a week or two ago. Because not only do we have grace now, and here's the part I think that popped out to me. It's not that God gives us grace now. He's going to show that to us throughout eternity. You know, I've said this before, and I don't know where I picked this up at. Why does God give us eternal life? Because it's going to take all eternity for us to know who he is. Which fits right in with that. You know, God didn't have to give us eternal life. I mean, he could have gave us a 200-year life period at some point. He could have said, okay. But no, he not only did he give us life here, but even when we get to heaven, it could have been a definite time period. But he's like, no. I love you guys so much, I want you guys with me forever. And so that would definitely fit in. Again, this chapter, we can go a lot of different places with it. So, anybody else want to share what verse they have or a key word? Crickets. What's that?
I have same.
What do you have?
Grace.
Okay.
Ephesians 2:8.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I want to differ out. My key verse was verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his love, his great love for which he loved us. My key word was but. My key phrase, but God. Understanding that no matter what we do, but God is greater. God can fix. And, you know, that's one of those things that I stole because here...
I refuse just to do the first one, but okay.
Okay. You know, Brian had preached it that one day on a message, and he kept saying, but God, but God, but God. You know, whatsoever we do, but God can fix it. You know, God has his grace. He has his riches.
And what was the verse?
4.
4. But God.
He's rich in mercy.
Okay. I know. Was you going to tell me yours, Carrie?
I can. If you want it.
Okay.
So my key word was remember.
See, everybody has something different. That's kind of neat.
And the verse it came from was verse 11.
Okay, read that for us.
Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
Okay. Wherefore remember.
Yes, basically never forget where we come from. Don't forget where we started.
Okay. So what our study is forcing all of us to do is actually to study and see, okay, so what am I grabbing from this chapter? And that's exactly what I want to try to get out, because that's what we need. We just need to, what are we getting out of it? And how, and that's why I said you've got to be able to explain why you got that. Okay? Anybody else? Okay. All right, so those are all good things. So So let me erase those. And now we're going to go to an outline. And we just have a few minutes left, so I won't ask everybody. Who wants to share their outline?
Simple.
Okay. What do you got, Joe?
Well, first one I just put, grace through faith, 1 through 10.
1 through 10, grace through faith.
And then 11 through 22, I just put, as one body.
As one body. Okay. Did you have bullet points under those?
On the first 1 through 10, I do. But...
Okay. Well, let me push this. I'm sorry, let me push this down. So what's your sub-points on your first one?
The first one, 1 through 3, I just put the state of humanity, dead in trespassing, sin, and walking in obedience.
Okay, I'll just abbreviate, say state of humanity.
Yeah. And B, I got 4 through 7. I put God's intervention made alive.
Okay.
And then 8 through 10, I put gift of God by grace. Well, salvation, a gift.
Did I do that right or close?
Yes.
Okay, so that was 1 through 10.
And then 11 through 22 was the as one body. And then I just didn't get it all in.
Okay. I think what we'll do, with yours specifically, as we go through some other chapters, this will probably fill in more. You'll probably be able to come back and see it. See the things in that and start putting them down. Because what we're going to start seeing is the church revealed in this book. And that perfectly does go basically what we're going at. Grace through faith. And we're going to get down to one body. So that's all connecting, going to a head. So that's good. It's really good. And so, yes. Anybody else have one they'd like to share?
Not to share that, but I was thinking, as I read through this, I was thinking that the old man is described and then the new man is described. You know, when you in Christ, the old, and the old was the circumcision done by hands, by flesh, and the new is circumcision of your heart, of Christ, what Christ does, God does in us.
There's definitely a break. And at the end of verse 10, because verse 11 starts off with, wherefore? Same thing with chapter 1, kind of had a break in it like that. So that's definitely a break right there. And yet, as Joe broke these down, that's really good too. And so there's two main breaks that I see, basically right here where you have them. And that's how mine breaks down. And then I have different bullet points on both of those. And I'm not saying mine's right any better than anybody else's, because it's probably not. It's the one that's the best is the one that makes sense to you and you can see it. Okay? Again, this whole point, I want to keep saying this. If you're in the class and go, well, mine's not that good, I don't care. Does it help you explain the chapter? Does it? And if it does, that's the goal. Okay? We may have a guy that just outlines everything. And let me give you this illustration too. Just because you can outline everything and just because you can make everything rhyme, just because you can do all that stuff, doesn't mean that the guy sitting in the seat or the guy you're trying to connect with will understand it. A lot of times the most simplest outline will reach more people because they understand it and they can grab it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you're a real educated person and your intellect's way up here and you're doing all this and that's fantastic, but you may only get 5% of your audience understands it. So what do we really try to do? Number one, you've got to understand it, but you want to try to be able to communicate that. If you can't communicate it to somebody else, then it's not very good. Okay? And the whole point of this is so we can take the Bible that we have, see what it says, be able to communicate that to somebody else. I remember there was a man that was on the circuit writing ministry, and he used to have everything outlined and did everything. So he went up to this church up in Illinois, and he'd been up there several times on his rotation, and once he went up there, and somehow he left his notes behind, so he had to preach everything just from memory. And he had this old farmer came up and said, "Son, you've been coming up here for about 6 months." He goes, "Today is the very first day that I really understood everything you said." And he thought he was flubbing it because he didn't have his outline and everything. I've been into the jail here I'll just pick on Richard for a little bit. Richard comes in and he doesn't have a totally outlined devotion. He just got up there and told the guys, let me tell you what it says or what I learned out of this. And they're listening to every word he said. And I'm like, that's God using them. Okay. And so again, it's not how flowery you are. It's how you can communicate what God has shown you. Okay. And so again, I keep beating on that. I'll stop on that. So, let me see if anybody else have an outline they want to put up here, because we're call it a day here real quick, because we're going to get out. That was good. That was real good, actually.
I'll do one.
You got one. Okay.
So, dead is 1 through 5.
1 through 5 dead.
Yep. And then the second one would be gift, which would be 6 through 10. And then hope is 11 through 22.
Okay. So that's your breakdown.
Right.
Dead, gift, and hope. Okay. You guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, I think a lot of ours are very similar. It's just how we flower them up. Okay. And it's the same concept, but we're just flowering them up a little bit. Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
So,
do I have enough whiteboard?
Actually, quite.
It's
not as short as his.
Okay.
So I have 1 through 4 is sin.
Okay.
And then under that I had walked in worldly places. And then I had 5 through 10 as mercy. Under that I had quickened us. Raised up.
And grace.
And 10 through 22 I had workmanship. And under that I had without Christ. And in Christ.
Okay, very good. Again, splitting right along with the rest of us. Sin, worldly places. God has given us mercy. He's quickened us. He's raised us up. He's given us grace. We are his workmanship. And then without Christ and in Christ. Okay? That fits. We're having all the same elements again here. And so, let me just... Oh, you had bullet points too? Okay. So what do you got?
Well, for dead, I had sin. And then that would be A. And then B was lust of the flesh. C would have been dead in sin.
Okay.
And then under gift, I had grace, gift, and created. And under hope, I had remember, peace, heirs, and habitation.
Peace. What was the next one?
Heirs.
E-R-R-O-R-S.
H-E. You know, like...
H-E-I-R-S.
Yes, thank you. H-E-I-R. H-E.
Heirs.
Yes.
Heirs. Okay. I thought you said...
I-R.
Okay.
And the last one was the habitation.
Habitation. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, real quickly, I'll just give you mine before we wrap up. So, I had mine broke down 1 through 10 and 11 through 22, kind of like some of you guys did. And I put our condition in 1 through 10. And then 11 through 22 is our relation. And what I basically broke it down to was our condition before Christ and our condition after Christ. And then I broke, and so our condition before Christ, 1 through 3, we were dead. We had a dead spirit. We had dead actions. Okay? We were dead. And then our condition after Christ, we are quickened. We're given life. We're given a position. We sit in heavenly places. We're given a new inheritance. And we are given a new work. And then the last one was our relationship, our relation before and after Christ. Before, we were without Christ. We were aliens. We were strangers. We were having no hope and without God. I mean, we were destitute. And after Christ, 19 through 22, we are now citizens. We are members. We're built upon one foundation. We're part of one building. And we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So again, the same concept pretty well everybody has, okay? And so again, so we're building this, again, chapter 2, Ephesians is basically salvation class 2. So Romans would be class 1, and if you want to learn about who you are on top of your salvation, you go to the book of Ephesians, and it starts laying all these out, that this is... who you are now, this is what you were, but this is who you are now, and this is what God has done for you from salvation to this point. And he's going to start building up to they're the church, okay? And so we will see that coming up in the next few weeks. So, next week, let me give the assignment. We're going to get out of here. The assignment is, guess what? You probably already know. Read chapter 3. And write it and do an outline. You guys are getting the hang of this. Again, your outlines don't have to be perfect, but get an outline. Okay? So read it several times, write it out, and then do an outline. Okay? And we'll go from there.